Sarah of the Jason Ranch Show is brought to you by mmcomfortsystems.com. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? A Jason Ranch exclusive.
This is another one of those stories that's going to make you mad. It's going to make a lot of people mad. You're going to question the lawmakers behind these truly horrific policies that didn't make sense at the time. And you're going to say, well, this definitely confirms it. Oh, the irony. Because after Dow Constantine, the executive in King County, after he decided to implement his COVID-19 vaccine mandate, the same one that was put in place by the governor, by the mayor of Seattle, Dow Constantine fired a whole bunch of people who did not comply with his vaccine mandate. He would not allow for accommodations in any meaningful way. After that happened, the Department of Adult and Juvenile Detention lost over 24 employees. They were fired. They were pushed out. Now, the Department of Adult and Juvenile Detention, the DAJD, that just means our prisons. They want to give it a fun title to make it seem like they're not putting people in jail. And I should say jail, not prisons. These are the two county prisons, one in Seattle, one in Kent. And as a result of losing all of those employees, the staffing situation is so dire that the county is now paying some correctional officers more than $100 an hour for overtime. And yet that still might not fix the problem to the point where the county might end up releasing criminals back into the community, all to alleviate some of the pressures that the staff is feeling right now. The county now offers 2.5 times a staff member's base rate for any overtime hours worked. Now, correctional officers are paid on a 12-step graduated salary plan. First step, you make the least amount. The 12th step, you make the most, but you also have to be an alcoholic who admits it. I made that part up, but just because you know the 12-step thing. If you are one of those top step officers who's making $41.21 an hour, well, guess what? If you volunteer for these shifts, you end up making $103 per hour. This is a last ditch, rather desperate attempt to fix a crisis that it created, that this county created, that Dow Constantine created. When he decided to fire some 35 staff members who didn't want to comply with his vaccine mandate. Now, this high pay rate serves one purpose. It is to entice people to volunteer to take on these shifts. Why? They have been dealing with mandatory overtime for months and months and more months. And there is considerable burnout. Now, when I say mandatory overtime, I'm saying, hey, you're working today from 9 to 5. Nope, sorry, we're going to have to make it a 16-hour day, and you have to take it. You have no choice. We are forcing this on you. The only choice you have is to quit. In fact, it's why, in large part, they've been dealing with the staffing crisis before the COVID vaccine mandate. People were getting sick and tired of working all of those hours. But now they have a staffing crisis that's out of control. Now, not only are they facing 100 vacancies, now they have to figure out, oh no, how do we handle the fact that we just lost a whole bunch of employees, not just to the mandate, but literally to infection with COVID, which we were told when we fired a whole bunch of people that it was to prevent this very scenario that they are in. We cannot keep you employed because as an unvaccinated person, you pose a risk. You will be the super spreader. And so the fully vaccinated staff over at our jails in King County, some 70 of them, were put out of commission because they contracted COVID. And so rather than burn these officers out, King County entered into a 60-day agreement with the King County Correctional Guild, or Corrections Guild, that's the union that represents the officers, with an MOU, a Memorandum of Understanding. It was signed on January 14th, we learned. And it guarantees them that rate of pay. Now, obviously, if they had 35 more staff members who weren't fired, this would be a slightly more tenable situation for them to handle. Maybe. Because still we're hearing from the guild saying, oh, we still need some help desperately. In fact, they're demanding a 2-week shutdown of all jail operations. They sent a letter to King County Executive Dow Constantine, as well as some other local leaders, including the mayor of Seattle. And at a bare minimum, they're demanding that the county stop issuing warrants for misdemeanor and nonviolent offenses. More troublesome to that, or perhaps as troublesome. They're also seeking the immediate release of all misdemeanor and nonviolent offenders, which comes with incalculable risk to the public. Because understand that we live in a county run by an ideologue, a partisan, in the prosecutor's office, Dan Satterberg. We have a city attorney in Seattle who doesn't like to go after crime. And so very serious crimes are sometimes just treated as if they're misdemeanors. Well, I mean, sure, he was driving the car that was used in a drive-by, but, you know, kids will be kids. We'll do misdemeanor charges. Oh, okay. Got it. The county right now is already dealing with record-high crimes, right? When you look at violent crime shootings, we beat the 2020 record in October of 2021. That's how bad it was. And understand that felonious acts are seldom carried out by first-time offenders. Misdemeanor acts, seldom carried out by first-time offenders. Oftentimes, a criminal is arrested for a lower-level crime before their behavior escalates. And we're saying we need to push them out of jail right now in the context of it almost being impossible for criminals to see a jail already because of our judges and the prosecutors who go easy on these criminals. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think that perhaps, just perhaps, the crime will worsen and not actually get better by putting more criminals out on the streets? It's in the name.
I mean, perhaps that may happen.
Just a little bit, maybe. And help is not on the way. They've only hired at the jails 13 new officers who aren't going to be ready for use until maybe summertime, early to mid-summertime at best, because they got to go through training and orientation. And it was funny, last night I spoke with an officer, a former officer who was fired from the jail system, because she didn't want to take the vaccine. And she was told by the director of the DADJ, John Diaz, that she was a health risk to unvaccinated staff members. So now she's at home, fired, her career taken away from her because she didn't want to comply with an order demanding she take on a medical decision that they want that she doesn't. She's there seeing the staffing crisis, but also the fact that they're now paying $103 an hour to try to fix it. And she told me last night that she feels betrayed and she feels anger for her friends who've had to deal with the aftermath of all of this. She calls it the county's reckless and heartless decision. They've lost really great officers they won't be able to replace and have caused a lot of hardship in the process, she told me last night. She also hates the idea of just releasing criminals. She knows that it's dangerous, and that's where we're at. And how much do you want to bet that this county decides to release criminals and stop charging some misdemeanors or going through with it? How much do you want to bet? they've already done this in the past, right? They did this at the beginning of COVID. Now they have a perfect opportunity to take advantage of a crisis and, again, use their ideological positions, which are favored against jail. They're going to use this staffing crisis that they created to take even more people out of jail. And I don't hear a whole lot of concern coming from the media. Not much at all. So if you want to help me shine a spotlight on this very important issue, because it impacts you all across King County and, frankly, our neighboring counties, where I guarantee you some of these criminals would end up going, if you want to help me get word out, text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770. Text R-A-N-T-Z to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link to my blog. Please don't just read it, but also share it on your social media accounts. If you did not check out my Fox News appearance this morning on Varney and Friends on Fox Business, make sure you head on over to our YouTube page, youtube.com/JasonRants. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? A Jason Rants exclusive.
But we just did a Jason Rants exclusive.
I was told to play a Jason Rants exclusive per the show sheet.
I have two exclusives?
Shouldn't you know if you have two exclusives?
I must have been busy.
Well, you're always busy. You're too busy for everybody, for friends, for anything good in your life. Sleep.
Companionship of any kind.
Anything.
Yeah.
Too busy.
Not too busy for my hair. Not too busy. By the way, having a great hair day.
Not too busy for more exclusives.
Yeah, I have another exclusive. This one out of Tacoma, where a man was caught on video surveillance as he sure seems like he's car prowling. In fact, he was doing it for almost an hour. Police officers nowhere to be seen, despite a witness who shared with me the video surveillance, despite a witness calling 911 four times. And by the time they did show up, 40-ish minutes later, the guy was already gone. Now, in fairness, Tacoma PD is going through a staffing crisis, and I don't blame him. I don't blame them, excuse me. But let's say they showed up immediately. Thanks to Democrats in Olympia and the reimagining of policing, they couldn't really have done anything. This happened in broad daylight last week. Broad daylight. This man is seen driving through the parking lot of the Tacoma Mall, the various lots within the mall. He leaves his car. He peers into the windows of various cars that it seems like he's targeting. He's looking inside trying to find out whether or not they have anything for him to steal. And when he finds some stuff, backpacks, bags, whatever it is, he uses a prying tool that ends up breaking windows. Mike Poth is a private investigator. He's actually going to be on the show at 5:30. He just happened to have been in Tacoma working on an assignment when he was like, hey, turn to his colleague in the car. What do you see? What is that guy doing? So suspicious. He's just kind of driving around and kind of look at him. He looks perhaps like he's a drug addict. He's looking into what is going on here. And then they quickly realize, oh, yes, it's because this guy is breaking into cars with the intent of stealing the goods inside. The video is just absolutely wild, because at no point does he seem overly concerned that he might get caught. At no point, I mean, he'll look around a little bit just to make sure no one's staring directly at him. But when you're doing this in broad daylight in a jam-packed parking lot, you kind of think that you can get away with it. And the truth is, you can get away with it. That's an unfortunate reality. In most cases, you can get away with it, because unfortunately, now that the laws have changed on policing, officers, whether they're in Tacoma or Seattle, Everett or Spokane, they have to abide by a probable cause standard. It used to be reasonable suspicion. Now, would a reasonable person find it suspicious that a man using a prying tool breaks the side of a window, snatches a whole bunch of stuff, and then puts it in his own car?
Sure, a reasonable person would find that suspicious, yes.
And that would give the officer the right to detain, hey, you, sir, you don't move. I just saw what you did, or someone just reported what you did. Let me try to figure out and get to the probable cause so that we can make an arrest. Now, how would you satisfy probable cause when someone is breaking into a car? What would you have to figure out? What's the one thing that you have? And it's very obvious if you don't think of it immediately. I'll tell you and you're going to say, oh, yeah, of course. What's the one thing that proves this person is breaking into a car?
If they have items from said car that they
can't. No. What's the one thing?
Broken glass on the ground. I don't know.
What is it? That's not probable cause. That's broken glass on the ground. It's who owns the car.
That is obvious.
You have to prove, you have to have probable cause to believe that this person is not the owner of the vehicle. And so without that probable cause, you can't detain and question anymore. You could before, and what would end up happening is, you're not leaving, get over here. Do you own this car? Let's say he doesn't say anything. Okay, that's fine. Is there any surveillance around here? Because we can look at the surveillance video and see who comes out of the car that's parked, and we can see you maybe pulling in. And then, oh, by the way, it's this woman. Oh, you know what? We can probably find her in the mall at the Macy's next door. And that's how it's all done. You can't detain the person forever, but you have some time to actually figure out and establish that probable cause. Even though it's very obvious what would be happening, if you saw someone doing this, you would very clearly say, well, we know exactly what's happening here. But they can't even stop and detain and question. And by the way, let's say they caught him in the act or right next to the broken glass. They could voluntarily, he could voluntarily answer questions. Doesn't have to. All he has to do is say, no, I'm the owner. I'm going to leave now. Or he can simply get in his car and speed away. Can you chase that car as it's speeding away? Can you get involved in a vehicle pursuit?
No.
What? But it's Tacoma.
No.
It's not Seattle. It's Tacoma. Why couldn't you do it? Oh, because we changed the rules, the law, around vehicle pursuits. Get that probable cause to note that a violent crime had occurred. Was this a violent crime? Property crime is not a violent crime. Unless, I suppose, you use a bomb to break, that doesn't seem like a very efficient way to break into a car. But let's say you established some sort of violent crime. It doesn't exist here, but in the world in which some violent act occurred, let's say you established it. Okay, well, number two, you have to say and satisfy, does me chasing him, is that more dangerous than letting him go and making an arrest at some other time? Or is it more dangerous for me to not chase that person? Now, let's say you satisfy that. The answer to that question is, it is more dangerous if I don't chase. Okay. You also then have to get permission from a supervisor to go and make that chase. By that time, doesn't seem likely that the driver's still going to be there. Now, if you violate any of those rules, intentionally or not, well, guess what? You could lose your certification to be an officer, which means the officer isn't even going to try at that point. Not in this environment, not with the anti-police sentiment here. That is what's going on. Now, we're going to talk to the witness who took the video at 5:30. If you text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770, I'll send you a link to my blog that has the video. 8 glorious minutes of this guy looking into cars and trying to steal, or excuse me, allegedly try to steal things. Maybe he was allegedly even looking into the car. I mean, sure, we've got images of him inserting the prying tool into the window and then breaking it and snatching some things. But maybe, you know, inside of those bags, there was live puppies and he was just saving their lives.
Yeah, don't you be too quick to judge this person, Jason.
I'm not. In fact, I encourage you to watch the video. And you tell me what you see. I'm not going to judge at all.
No, you won't.
I see a man who may or may not be tweaking at the time and breaking into cars. He may not be.
May not.
He might be, but I mean, he may not be. Text RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link to the video. It's all on my blog. Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show. We are live on this Wednesday. There was a point in the afternoon that we did not think we were going to make it. We did not think we were going to make it to air, or really, we did not think we were going to make it out of the Biden press conference alive. It was painful.
I've never celebrated anything more to end.
I cannot, you know, the thing about President Trump's long press conferences, at least they were funny.
They were entertaining.
Yeah. They were fun. There was an energy to it. There wasn't this weird sort of leaning into the microphone and then whispering, but then also yelling and then accusing someone else of not knowing the English language. Weirdly, he shouted at my friend, Philip Wegman, who was asking a very reasonable question. But it doesn't matter because nothing that he said is going to change the fact that his polling is in the toilet. It's not even a working toilet. It's a toilet that's not been working, except the homeless people in the encampment have been thinking it's still going to work. And despite it not working, they still use it the same way for a month and a half.
That's an image I didn't need to
picture. I'm just being honest about what it is we saw. 1 year into his term, more than a third of voters say he deserves an F grade. That's according now to Politico and Morning Consult. 37% of the people who responded give him an F for the first year of his presidency. Giving him an A, 11%. And I think it's because Jennifer Rubin at the Washington Post was able to vote a whole bunch of times. 11% gave him an A, 20% gave him a B. But when you look at the C and D category, 18% for C, 12% for D, 37% for F. This is a failure that we have right now in the White House. In fact, his grade is worse than what President Trump's was at this time. He's trending worse than Trump. The worst president in the world. Our democracy was on the brink of disaster. I mean, he was a monarch that weirdly is no longer in power. I don't understand how those monarchies work. But hey, 2022, maybe we redefine that word as well. The worst marks for Biden were on the economy, on immigration, on restoring unity, which, by the way, was one of the two promises he made. What did he say when he became president? I'm going to get big deals done, which is very reminiscent of something that Trump would say. So Trump actually got some big deals done. You may not have liked him, but he got them done on the left. But number two, he said, I'm going to unite this country. Has he united anyone? I mean, even the Democrats are kind of mad at him. The progressive wing versus the more mainstream Democrats, whatever that means nowadays. 40% gave him an F on restoring unity. 38% gave him an F on the economy. This is awful. 68% believe that we're on the wrong track as we head into the November elections. But he's all like, today during the press conference, which is why he did this. This was just another horrific poll that they could not ignore. And so they threw him out there with his talking points, reading off of a script until he decided to go off on his own, meandering on his own. On the economy, he's like, no, what are you talking? The economy is strong. I got you guys more money for the first time ever. Or something.
And for the first time in a long time, this country's working people actually got a raise. Huh. Actually got a raise.
Really?
People, the bottom 40% saw their income go up the most of all that got a raise.
I just wrote, people got raises last year and the year before and the year before that and the year before that. In fact, wages were better under Trump than they were under you. How do we know that? Because under Trump, we didn't see a 7% inflation hike. Oh, kudos. You got an extra 40 cents an hour, which, you know, at the end of the year, for the people who care about 40 cents, that's a lot in the context of what they were making. Too bad, unfortunately, for them, all the goods that they buy, that they normally buy when they go to a grocery store, retail store, all that stuff has gone up higher than the rate of their raise. And there's no There's just like no good news coming in that regard before November. He's blaming COVID for the inflation crisis. He can go ahead and do that all he wants. You're blaming COVID for inflation right now? Really? Or was it your policies that fired a whole bunch of people that helped make a supply chain crisis even worse? Before, they were bragging about the supply chain. It means there's a lot of demand. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, we got it. And yet again, he's on this weird talking point the Democrats keep pushing. And again, this is all about the big strategy of gaslighting. There's a problem at the border. We see all the video. They tell us there's no problem at the border. We see people dying in Afghanistan, the total chaos. We have still people, Americans, who are stuck in Afghanistan. Oh, that was a huge success. On inflation, you told us it wasn't happening. Then you said it was, don't worry, it's just transitory. It's not that much. Supply chain, oh, I fixed it. He says to the Americans who are going into the grocery stores and seeing bare shelves Biden all over the place. They keep telling us something that is the polar opposite of the reality. Such as, hey, we're going to pass a $5 trillion package, Build Back Better, but it will somehow cut the deficit. And by the way, it's paid for itself. It's already paid for. It's already paid for. Then why aren't you just doing it? What do you need a vote for? It's already paid for. You're not allocating any funds? No, it's paid. Well, okay, then just do it.
My Build Back Better plan cuts the price of prescription drugs. So insulin.
Under Trump, he had the program to cut prescription drug prices. And just real quickly, what are you building back better with prescription drug price cuts? When you say build back better, it's supposed to be an infrastructure bill, right? What's that have to do with prescription drugs? Maybe that's why it's $5 trillion. It's not really an infrastructure package. What was the percentage that's actually focused on infrastructure in this thing?
That today costs some people as much as $1,000 a month. Will cost no more than $35 a month.
Wow, that's a deal.
It cuts the cost of elder care. Wow. It lowers energy cost. And it will do all this without raising a single penny in taxes.
How are you paying for it then? How are you paying for it? Because it's not like you're cutting other programs to pay for it of money that's already been allocated. He is lying to you. That is all about the gaslight. That's all about gaslighting. And he's telling you, oh, you know, it's, and the fact that I haven't been able to accomplish anything, despite the fact that I have total control of Congress, both the House and the Senate and the White House, we have all control. It's the Republicans' fault.
I did not anticipate that there'd be such a stalwart effort to make sure that the most important thing was that President Biden didn't get anything done.
Oh, yes, that's what there's. The most important thing, ladies and gentlemen, is making sure he doesn't get anything done, especially the things we agree with. That's the most important thing. When the Democrats pushed back against a lot of the plans of President Trump, that was heroic. They weren't getting in his way because they just wanted to see him fail. They were standing up for democracy. But when Republicans say, oh, yeah, we're not going to give you control over our elections, that's the opposite of saving democracy, apparently. A reporter ends up listing all of the failures from this administration, and yet Biden grades himself an A.
I wanted to zoom out on your first year in office. Inflation is up. Your signature domestic legislation is stalled in Congress. In a few hours from now, the Senate, an effort in the Senate to deal with voting rights and voting reform legislation is going to fail. COVID-19 is still taking the lives of 1,500 Americans every day. And the nation's divisions are just as raw as they were a year ago. Did you overpromise to the American public what you could achieve in your first year in office?
Yes.
And how do you plan to course correct going forward?
He won't.
Why are you such an optimist? Look, I didn't overpromise. And what I have probably outperformed what anybody thought would happen.
I mean, I suppose there were people who didn't think he can get out of bed in the morning, right, without tripping over himself. I suppose there were people who never thought he can get through the day without seven naps. and he's getting through the day with four. Okay. I suppose if that's your bar, that what? See, here's it again, gaslighting. Who is dumb enough to fall for that? Seriously, who is? I would love to know that. Part of Donald Trump's personality was to always brag, right? Never admit failure, and always say he outperforms. And he was dragged for that, even when he did outperform. So how? What did he outperform on? No one thought we can get what we got done. Like what? The border? Have you visited it yet? You're pushing us into war with Russia. Okay, that is that. I guess no one thought you'd be dumb enough to do that. It's unbelievable. Truly unbelievable. And then later on, he gets in, you know, you're not supposed to question the election. Certainly not election integrity. He basically said we might likely have an illegitimate election in 2022, this midterm, if we don't pass the bill he wants us to pass. I thought that that was treasonous. We'll play some of that audio later on in the show. When we come back, however, a high school football coach canceled workout for his team and instead had them shovel snow for neighbors. That's a Peyton, that's adorable.
You're going to make fun of the story.
No, it's adorable.
You're using the voice that
you're setting up.
Do you like this story?
It's the best story ever.
Did it bring you joy when you read it today?
What could I mock in this story?
Teenagers, old people, annoying football coaches. I don't know. Things that you hate.
That was Jason Rantz of 2021. 2022 Jason Rantz? Way worse. And we're going to find out how when we come back. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. Brian DeLalo coaches at Bethel Park High School in Pennsylvania. And he had his players go out and shovel snow around their neighborhood instead of actually working out. And according to WLWT-TV, he got a response that he never expected. Which is odd, because he announced what he was doing on Twitter.
Okay.
Which means you were expecting to get a response.
That's how you took that? I took that as, like, that's how he's communicating with his players.
Oh, is that how he communicates with his players? Does he go over strategy for the games?
No.
Beforehand, does he do it on Twitter?
Practice canceled. Workout canceled today. Go shovel snow.
How do they know that workout was even scheduled to begin with? Also on Twitter? No emails or...
You want me to find this guy's Twitter?
No, okay. I'm just wondering.
These Bethel Park football players typically meet in the workout room at 9 a.m.
Okay, hold on, lady. Reporter. She says that at 9 a.m. Can you believe they get up at 8:30 on a school day that starts around that time and goes to the gym? That's dedication. I mean, these kids, they're going to bed sometimes at like midnight, and they're getting a full 8 hours of sleep, only to go into the gym at 9 a.m. Did they not go to the gym early in places like Bethel Park?
When school is closed, but their coach tells me on days like this, they take their workout to the neighborhood.
This is thick.
For Braden Del Duca...
It's just nice getting out here, helping out the community.
Colton Pfeiffer and all of their teammates, this is today's practice.
It's not a practice. First of all, dummy, you started it off by talking about how it was a workout. And now it's a practice? Is it a workout or a practice? They're not the same thing.
They're close enough.
No, they are not.
In high school football, workouts can be done in lieu of practice.
Whatever.
Football coach tweeted it, telling the players that their weightlifting workout has been canceled. Instead, they were to find an elderly or disabled neighbor and shovel their driveway.
Imagine knocking on the door and saying, excuse me, is there anyone old or disabled in this household? Because I've got a deal for you. Oh, I'm sorry. You're not? You're not old?
Yeah, you're not old enough.
You hit me up when you're in a wheelchair, and I'll go ahead and come back. But since you're able-bodied and of an age that I think you can do this yourself, I'm going to walk away now. Is that what they did? Did they wander around the neighborhood and say, is there a grandma around? Is there a grandma anywhere here? Anyone? Go find an elderly person or a disabled person. And if you can't find any, I'll see you tomorrow at the gym. Is that how it went?
He wrote, "Don't accept any money. That's our Monday workout."
Don't accept. Okay. That's nice of him. Don't accept any money. And I want you to remember that.
And they quickly did, as Coach Brian DeLalo said.
So not even out of the goodness of their own hearts. They had to listen to the coach. Otherwise, they would have stayed at home.
I mean, they're young and stupid. They need to be told.
Tells me first thing this morning, his players were texting photos of each other, clearing driveways, one after another.
Photoshop. It's great to see the kids buy in and get out there. And, you know, they'll shovel all morning and then hopefully they'll go sled riding in the afternoon and get to be kids.
So you're forcing them into labor and then saying, well, hopefully at some point they'll get to be kids. Unfortunately, there's not that much place for them to now go down a sled on because they just shoveled all the snow.
We'd love to do it for everybody that we can.
Del Duca.
Well, only if they're disabled or elderly. I mean, you're not going to do it for everyone whenever you can.
A guard and tackle on the team says this is their chance to thank the community for their support, something he and Pfeiffer, a wide receiver and safety, did together. Aww. And they say they realized just how much this workout change was helping everyone when they knocked on this homeowner's door.
She was excited. She asked how much it was. We said it was free of cost. She was all excited and thankful for it. It was just nice to see that.
And that homeowner told the players she will pay it back by donating to the school's football program.
So it wasn't free of cost, was it?
I mean, in a sense.
No, not in any sense. The whole plan was do not accept money.
The players didn't. The coach?
Did they not?
The coach is accepting that donation.
This is the equivalent of having a car wash where all the funds go to the booster club. That you're charging them money. It is no longer free. And by the way, lady, you're the dum-dum here. You could have got it done for free, but you decided to cough up money. That was the plan from the beginning.
See, you should be mad at the old lady, not at the high school.
I am!
Okay.
I am!
You sound mad at everybody.
Adding to their lesson.
It's about community.
Yeah, adding to their lesson. That if you do some work, you might get paid for it. Especially, and by the way, especially when you say you're going to do it for free. And they go, no, ma'am, I can't accept any money. However, we do have a 501c3 that you could make donations to.